This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
I'm speaking from James today, which is one of my favourite books of the Bible. For me, it's very matter of fact. James is often considered to be part of the wisdom literature of the Bible. The way it's written reads a bit like Proverbs. It's bite-sized nuggets to hold on to and devour. And for me, the passage we're looking at today is one of those. So if you have a Bible to hand, I'd encourage you to keep it open as I speak, because I'll be dipping in and out of it this morning. It will be on screen as well. And I'm going to be reading now from James chapter 1, verses 19 to 25. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So this may be a familiar passage to many of you, or even if you've never read the Bible, that line about being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry may sound familiar. If it is familiar, you may well have read it countless times and not really thought much about the context here. Certainly, on first reading, you may be thinking, how on earth does this fit with the title of my talk, Anger and Injustice? So let me explore the context a little for you to hopefully make more sense of it. I really enjoy taking the time to do this. The Bible has such richness and depth, and I am often guilty of only skimming the surface when I read it. In doing so, it's easy to miss some of the hidden depths due to our busyness, our lack of awareness that there's even something more for us to learn, and over-familiarity. And I'm really hoping that this morning I can inspire you and re-inspire myself to explore and understand the Bible a little more. If you'd like pointing in the right direction about some resources to start you off, please do talk to your growth group leader if you're in a group, or get in touch via the comments or the hello email address. I'd love to start you off in the right direction. So in this book, James, who is widely thought to have been Jesus' brother, is writing to Jewish Christians who've been dispersed as a result of persecution, and they're known as the diaspora. I'm not going to go into queries about the exact timing and exact events leading up to this point, but scholars generally agree that this is written to Jewish Christians who have left their homes in Palestine and are facing economic distress, including persecution at the hands of wealthy landowners. And I think that knowing that makes a significant difference to how we interpret and therefore how we may choose to respond to this passage. James is writing to a group of people under pressure, who have fled their homes and who are on the receiving end of injustices. This is a reminder of how to respond, not just when things are going well, but when you're being persecuted and when life is tough. I want us to look at and apply this nugget of wisdom to our lives as we think about our theme of justice in the year ahead. Now, exploring justice can make us angry because of the injustices it makes us aware of. Does anyone else find that, or is it just me? In the weeks ahead, we're going to be hearing from Darren Evans about our environment and Andrew Wallace about trafficking. Does anyone think those topics might make them angry? And then, as Howard said, in a few weeks' time, it'll be the story on a Sunday evening, inviting women to share their stories of being treated unjustly or discriminated against. And that's just a sneak preview of February. There'll be other topics later in the year as we explore God's heart for justice further. And I have no doubt that as we hear stories of persecution and injustice, that God's heart will stir within us. And that this passage is a reminder for us to be quick to listen, as Howard alluded to the men being quick to listen in that story, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. If we can remember that, it will help to guide us as we respond to what we hear. So let's hold that tension in our minds as I read the passage again, with some additional thoughts from me to help us to apply this today. So, my dear brothers and sisters, who I know are battling boredom at home, worried about losing jobs, exasperated by homeschooling, fearful of COVID, feeling forgotten, exhausted, lonely. Take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Really, James? Everyone? It just doesn't feel that easy now. But this letter was written to people who were not finding this easy. It was written by James to people he loved to be with but couldn't be, as they were in different places. Separated not by social distancing restrictions but by physical geography, and with no technology like this to use. Separated by having to flee a former life. I think this is a word of correction. The diaspora were grumbling, understandably. And James mentions the tongue in multiple chapters of this letter. Here we are just reading the little introduction to it in chapter 1. James is reminding them of the principle which was widespread in Jewish wisdom about listening lots and talking little. There are plenty of examples about the tongue and speech in Proverbs. If you'd like to go looking for them, try Proverbs 17 for a starter. This letter was written almost 2,000 years ago to a group of people isolated, persecuted, and probably longing for how life used to be and who were grumbling. I think that that makes it highly relevant to us now. Many of us are feeling isolated, persecuted, and longing for our pre-COVID freedoms, and many of us are grumbling. Let's read on. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Human anger does not produce godly righteousness. It doesn't bring about the sort of behaviour which is pleasing to God. And this is where reading this like one might read a proverb is helpful. The general sentiment from James here is important and is how this passage is designed to be read. James is saying that generally, anger leads to sin. Now, you might be able to think of examples where anger is justified, perhaps even righteous. However, James is reminding us of this core truth. 99 times out of 100, anger leads to sin, leads to breakdown in relationships, pain, suffering, and destruction. And we need to remember that. So therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So from anger to this reminder to humbly accept the word planted in you. This is a big picture moment for those who would call themselves followers of Jesus. A call to leave behind your old life and to turn and go a new way. Not just to listen, but a simple call to do what it says. The simplicity of the message of Jesus, to turn away from the ways of the world, believe and accept that Jesus is who he says he is, the Son of God, and follow his teachings. Back in November, I spoke about holy discontent, the stirring of something inside where you connect with God's heart and it brings about change. This is what the Bible means in part by do what it says, following Jesus' example, responding to injustice with a constructive, righteous response and action. James goes on, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Now, most of us can easily picture what we look like even without a mirror in front of us. We don't need to double check our hair colour, if we have freckles or not, if we wear glasses, we just know. Here, James is reminding us that once we've heard the truth of God's word, that we need to keep going, not forgetting what we've learned, but putting it into action. And if you were listening to the Vineyard National Gathering that Joss mentioned earlier, if you were listening last week, Jordan Tseng had a similar message where he encouraged us to keep trying. Not to measure success by outcomes, but by whether or not we did what it says. James is trying to remind the diaspora of who they are, of the truth they have understood, and of the importance to keep on studying the Word of God, to continue acting on it, living their lives according to it. For all of us, James is challenging to keep on reading our Bibles, the Word of God, to keep on listening to God, as we have been doing for the last 21 days, and to keep on living out our faith, not forgetting what we have heard, to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. As we explore God's heart for justice, let us be quick to listen to those who know more of us, and particularly those who've been subjected to persecution. Let us be quick to listen to God and hear what he is saying to us. What is his heart? Let us be slow to speak, for in speaking to those who live with injustices, we can cause much hurt and upset through our own ignorance if we don't first listen and wait for that invitation to speak. And finally, may we be slow to anger, but may a holy discontent stir within us. Let us each do what it says and respond to God's call on our lives. David spoke a couple of weeks ago from Isaiah 9, where he described all of the activity being on God's side. And I believe that God sees and knows each and everything which might make us angry. I believe that God weeps over the trafficked individual, over the planet being damaged, the way this pandemic has encompassed the world, the racial and gender inequalities in our world, and that God weeps over the things that you feel are overlooked by those around you as well. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, would we respond by daring to delve into our Bibles further, by learning more about the context in which they're written so that we can truly understand what you're trying to say to us? Would we be a people who are quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger, but a people who do what it says, who respond to what you're laying on our hearts? Would we be a people who see your kingdom come in the world around us through being willing to take action?